are looking into the book of Philippians. We're traveling in this journey for 6 weeks through the course of a fantastic book that was written to the city there in Philippi. And what we're looking at is for the next 40 days, or less than 40 days now, we're in the process of a laboratory. And the laboratory is the church found at State Line Baptist. And in this laboratory, we have many different areas in which there are some interesting experiments that are taking place. And in many of these experiments are taking place, such as in small group. In chemistry, anybody take chemistry? Yeah, you took chemistry. Across the street from our classroom, well, across the hallway, New Hope, they used to teach home ec. And home ec used to slaughter the chemistry class. They'd go in and they'd cook these cookies. And they'd cook this bread. And that aroma would just come across the hallway into the chemistry. And literally, your lips just start, the slobber just starts coming down. I mean, the home ec, they had you. No matter what you do, they had you. But one day, we got them. We had what was known as a Bunsen burner. Y'all know Bunsen burner? You turn these things on, and then you put this little crucible right there, and we put mothballs in there. Now, the mothballs, it's interesting. You turn them up to a certain heat, and it becomes a liquid. But if you make it too hot, they start coming up into the air like it's little pieces of ashes. And they literally, we turned them up, buddy. And we flooded home ec. We got them back that day. Teacher didn't like it too much, but we enjoyed it. And on that day. But you know, there's something about getting in the crucible. And so that's really what we're going to be looking at. Getting in the crucible through the small groups, through the next, in the inside of these 40 days, and seeing what God is doing. We're getting in there and turning the heat up. In Philippians chapter 1, we take this journey. In Philippians chapter 1, we're going to begin looking at verse 18. It says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." God wants us to rejoice. And so, how does all this happen? One of the things that we're discovering in these laboratories is we're trying to discover authentic Christianity. Now, authentic Christianity, when you put it in the field of the church, it really multiplies out time five, and that is one, it would be evangelism. Inside of the church, and you say, what is the purpose of the church when we gather together in this group here or in the small group in the home? What are you looking at? What does authentic Christianity look like? One, it looks like evangelism. In other words, you're taking the ungodly, and you're leading them to become godly. That's the ultimate end. You take the ungodly and you lead them to become the godly. So what we're doing there is we're reaching out together. The second purpose found in the church is that of discipleship. Discipleship is teaching the way of Christ. When you boil it all down, we want to grow together. Growing together is exciting, folks. Because when the heat is turned up in the crucible, and this group of people who are gathered together this morning, when the heat's turned up, all of a sudden, things begin to happen. And it changes people. Thirdly, we grow in fellowship. Growing together as we grow out. I kind of like that. Growing together as we grow out. Okay, anyhow, food. We're supposed to have a lot of food, as we meet together. So we are Baptists, and Baptists like chicken. And so therefore, my wife has got me on this wonderful diet, no fried chicken. I love my wife. I love her. I'm in cahoots with it. But anyhow, eating together. There's something about just enjoying when you get together and eat. And if you don't think Denny can eat a lot, you ought to show up. I mean, this guy can put it down. But we grow together. That's fellowship. I like what one guy said, fellowship is two people in the ship fishing. These two fellows are together. Fellowship, we grow together. We learn so much about just sharing together. Fourthly, we have worship. And that is worshiping God and showing His holiness. We worship God. We worship together. I tell you what, when we sing the old hymn like Holy, 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 that strikes a drum beat in my heart for the holiness of God. And then we gather together with the praise songs as Morgan and Mike and all the group here, just us a wonderful. We worship together. We pray together. And as Brother Jim bring out, we have scriptures together. So all of a sudden, together we are in this element of worship. And then missions. Mission is that a serving without guarantee of return. Service. You see, that's what missions is all about. Serving other people. Doing something for others without expecting anything in return. God sees it. God knows it. The purpose of the church. I think if we take those five purposes right there, that's going to keep us busy probably about the next 100 years. And then after that, we'll try to do something else. But for the next 100 years, let's work and focus on this. But you might begin to say, well, what is this? What is authentic Christianity? Where are we going? How are we going to partner up? And when the heat's turned up, what's going to happen? Well, verse 18, as we read a moment ago, talks about Christ being preached. Christ being preached. Authentic Christianity preaches Christ, which produces joy. Folks, if you lose the joy in Christianity, you're preaching the wrong Christ. Because inside of Christ, there is joy. And the person who sold out to Jesus Christ is going to preach bringing forth joy into the life. Now, when you bring forth joy, that doesn't mean you don't preach the judgment. Because the judgment can bring forth joy. Boy, in our Sunday school class this morning, we're in the process of, Brother Jason is trying to stir it up a little. And we're in there, and we're teaching all of these things, and not every topic that we deal with is fun. You want a challenge, man. You ought to come investigate. Come investigate. Not everything's fun. But you know what? Inside of there, there's still joy. When you dig into this stuff that's uncomfortable, there's still joy. When you preach Jesus, there's joy. Because Jesus, when you start preaching Jesus, He'll tell you what's right. He'll tell you what's wrong. He'll tell you how to get right, and He'll tell you how to stay right. That's what the Word of God does. It brings it all together. So authentic Christianity. In authentic Christianity, what we're looking at here, there's two options in which people preach Christ. One, sometimes they preach it out of pretense or fake reproduction. That's the reason why I don't recommend you watching a lot of these TV shows, TV preachers, because a lot of what they do is pretense. But sometimes people get saved even by what they're teaching, because the power is not in the man, the power is in the message. And so therefore, when Jesus Christ is lifted up and when souls are saved, I vote for souls being saved. And so therefore, they may preach it wrong, but listen, let them preach it. Let's get the Word of Jesus Christ. And then there's also preach Christ in truth. And that's authentic Christianity. To the person who sold out to Jesus, they're going to provide hope. Now, we're going to put together an acrostic here, because over the next 40 days, we're partnering up in small groups and then in public worship right here. We're partnering up together. And so therefore, what is this all about? What is being in the crucible? What do you really mean? When you turn up the fire on authentic Christianity, what does it look like? Well, in the small groups, we're partnering together. The P is going to stand for prayer. Prayer. Prayer does what God can do. And what can God do? Exactly. God can do anything. Prayer does what God can do, and God can do anything. So prayer, it's teaching us here that faith, praying, brings out God to do what God wants to do. Prayer changes others. An amazing thing about this, prayer changes us in the meantime. Prayer takes over. Faith praying makes you more sensitive to those needs who are around you. So in the crucible right here, let's make up a prayer list. In fact, many of the small groups have already done that. They made up a prayer list, the date, the person, the subject matter, and then there's also a place in the book for the answered prayer. And I look forward to, at the end of this period of 40 days, coming out and speaking about how God answered prayer in your specific group. So make that prayer list. Put it all together. Make this group. Because what we're learning here is that God wants to be glorified. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, it says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you." Let the word of God run swiftly. Man, what's God wanting to do? God's wanting to take you as an individual and get the word out. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. Jesus Christ can help you at your point of need. Get the word out. And we need to be praying for one another that God will open up doors and God will open up the eyes of people and God will help people and bring people into small group so that they can grow together in fellowship, in love, in evangelism, in service, in missions, in worship, so that God can bring all these things as found in Colossians 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying for us that God would open to us a door for the Word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. In other words, let your small group write up a list of people who need to know Jesus. Folks, you're under war. You mean we're supposed to get in on that? Absolutely. Don't you want to get under the spout where the glory comes out? Don't you want to get a double dose of the Holy Ghost? Man, you need to get in there. Start writing down these lists of these people, these names, people that you can pray about. Will these people come? They will. They will. It's kind of interesting. Oh, can't talk about that tonight. We got some other stories that are coming up from our small group, but you know in our small group we can't tell everything that we experience. Okay, anyhow, there's going to be some interesting things coming about this. Right, Scott? We got it. Okay, alright, so we're moving in that category. Secondly, A stands for appeal to common interest. When you turn up the heat in your crucible, what you're going to do is you're going to appeal to common interest. Before you reach somebody, people don't care what you know till they know that you care. When you show people that you really care, you build this relationship. And you, what you seek to do, you try to discover common ground. And then when you find that common ground, what do you do in the spring? You get the tiller out. And you break up that common ground. And then you put seeds in it. And then God brings the rain and the sunshine and it grows. Don't know exactly how it works, but I do know it produces fruit. Man, it's awesome. When we partner up with God, when we discover common interest in there, so folks, we need to come together and reach and go that second ground. You know what? I read about this guy. This small group out in California, they like to go see the San Diego Dodgers play. So what they did with their small group, they bought, that whole group bought season tickets. And then they all chipped in money and they bought two more season tickets. And what they would do is every week when that whole group went together, they'd invite two different people. And they'd go together and they'd hang out and just have big fun time at the game. And then when the game's over, they said, "Hey, this group's getting together over at Bob's house on Thursday night. You want to come?" And just, these guys are on the level. And you know what they're doing? They're coming. Isn't that amazing? What can we do? I don't know if we can get a whole group in here on the same team or not, though. I think too many of you for the wrong team. You know what I mean? But you can do something like that. Some of you might need to go fishing. And if you want to go fishing, ask Gary. Gary will take anybody. All right, Gary? And he knows what big fish are. But, and all of a sudden, you can get groups out doing something that's just pure old fun. And then all of a sudden, you just, "Hey, man, why don't you come hang out with us?" It works. It works. It works all over the world. And so therefore, God wants to be doing things. I read about one group. What they do, every Friday night they get together and they cook hot wings and they watch a movie in the home. Anybody can do that. And they call it the Master Wing Movie. And they get together and they just have the hot wings and have a good time. Listen, folks, we need people that we can hang out with and just enjoy life. That's what he does. That's what. So we're learning about these things. Secondly, as we think about authentic Christianity, let's pick it up with verse 21. Christ is going to be magnified because authentic Christianity magnifies Christ in our body, which signifies life. Look at this. He says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all my boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Hey, what's the winning options? For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. What an option! That's called, we're a winner either way. Don't you like that? Doesn't it need to be on the winning side? So what are we going to do? We're going to turn up the heat because we're going to reach out in love. And when you begin to reach out in love, people want to know that you really care about them. But what do you have to tell anybody? I mean, just think about it. What do you have? Christy discovered something this morning. Christy discovered in her spiritual gift, evangelism, pastor. Boy, she said, pastor said, whoa. She thought she was going to have to put on a suit and tie and come up here. But now, what she discovered was something very real inside of her, that she can care about people in her small group. She can shepherd those. You see, Christy has the greatest news that could ever be told. Is that right? She got the greatest news that could ever be told, and that's Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came into this world to love saints and sinners. Jesus Christ came into this world to live for us and to give us a way to heaven. Jesus came, He even died for us. Jesus came and He rose again. Jesus wants you to have hope. Christy knows that. She's got some good news. But you know what? Something else about Christy? Christ died for her. And if there was no other reason that Christy should reach out and touch, but out of gratitude. Out of gratitude for what Jesus Christ has done for her. That's enough. If He didn't do anything else, reach out and touch people because of gratitude. And thirdly, she reaches out and touches people because God is love. Hey, let me let you in on a little secret. If the love of God is not in you, you're not going to heaven. Let's just put it down. If the love of God, if you don't love, the love of God's not in you, you're not going there. Because you see, the nature of God is love. The Scripture says God is love. Did you know that you can have the right doctrine and not go to heaven? Did you know that you can go to church and not go to heaven? Did you know that you can be baptized and not go to heaven? Did you know that you could give your body to be a martyr and not go to heaven? The Scripture teaches us, if the love of God is not in you, then heaven's not your home. Now that's a little bit scary, but it's absolutely real. So how do I know? How do I know that God is in me? How do I know that God... Folks, what we need to do, we need to have a deeper love for other people. That's what God wants us to do. Have a deep love. Love is the nature of God. And one cannot go there without that nature. 1 John 4:8 says this, "He who does not love does not know God. For God is love." So you see, if you don't love, you don't know God. And also inside of this, in loving, what does authentic Christianity look like? It looks like us giving ourselves because that shows our love for God. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives, because you have become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be burdened to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. Hey, look, folks, what's he telling us here? He said, look, you got the love of God? Show that love by, hey, what would they do it? They were working, they were by vocation, they were working all day and night with their hands so they could feed themselves, so that they could just teach and preach the gospel. Boy, what are you going to work for? Hey, so they don't, bill collector don't pick you up? No. What are you going to work for? Man, you go to work so that you can provide, so that you can share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. But listen, while you're going on this line, don't expect unbelievers to act like believers. Sometimes we get all wrapped up there, man, you know what he said. Yeah, I know what he said. He talked like some of you, the way you used to talk. Don't talk that way anymore. But you know what? Don't expect non-believers to act like believers when they're not. Because non-believers do what non-believers do. But Christians, authentic Christians, do what Christ does. And so what are you saying? I'm saying, look at this. 1 Corinthians 5:12 says, or 13 says, but those who are outside, God judges. Whoa! Leave the outside judgment up to God. You love them. You love them. Now, the love of Christ is the driving force for us to reach out. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ compels. In other words, why you want to reach out and touch and let people know, because there's something burning inside of you that you can't keep quiet. There's something going on inside of you that's bubbling up. There's joy flowing out of you that you want other people to have. Lost people don't have what you got. And we need to give it away. Thirdly, I want you to recognize in the text, Christ's pull. Authentic Christianity labors to produce fruit when heaven is in the foreground. Let's pick it up in our text. We're reading verse 22. It says, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is far more needful for you. Man, this guy, man, he's got it going right here. He said, at his age, in prison, he says, for me, man, I want to die now, or should I just go on and die now, which is far better for me, or should I live, which is far better for you? Because I don't know what I'm going to do. For self, I'd rather go and be with Jesus. That's the best. But for you, I need to remain here. Because in all this time, that means more fruit from my labor. So what he's telling us here, he's teaching us a principle of our partner, and that's T. T means tell your story. In other words, you want to be authentic in your story. You are an expert witness. Folks, I can't tell you what they said, but I can tell you in the last two small groups, we've had some testimonies like what you wouldn't believe, coming from people who are young in Christ, and they're telling what Christ did in their life, and you're talking about building you up. Folks, tell your story. You were there. You are the expert because you were there. And when you tell it, be short. Cut through the chase, 2 or 3 minutes. Don't be long-winded like Wendy. Cut through the chase. Tell the story. She doesn't do that. I was just picking on Wendy. Be short. Be precise. Get the word out. People won't to listen, and then be a synonym. In other words, life experience is built on bridges, common ground, identify with life. And once you can identify with an individual in life, then what do? You head to the cross. You see, that's what happens. Man, when you tell your testimony, you identify with experience, because many of you in here right now have a bundle of stories to tell. If we sat around in a circle, you could start bringing up stories about what God has done in and through your life. And you've had some experiences that you wish you'd never gone through, but you can tell others how Christ brought you through that. You can find common ground. And then head to the cross. In the small groups, you may want to write out your story and then share it with the group. Folks, nothing builds more than when you get in the crucible right there. Proclaim His praise. 1 Peter 2:9 says that you may proclaim the praises unto Him. When you're writing out your story, it's not about you, folks. It's about Him. Spend the most time on Him. Tell what God has done for you. Psalm 66, verse 16. Come in here, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done. Declare Christ has done for you. Number four, abundant in Christ. Authentic Christianity encourages progress and joy in faith, creating the more abundant in Jesus Christ. You have two authentic driving forces, and I want you to see them in Philippians 1:25. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you. What? Here's the authentic driving devices. Authentic Christianity says, look, I'm going to remain here so that for your progress, for your joy. Listen, folks, when you got the real stuff, when it's the real deal, you want other people to have joy. And you're willing to pay the price to share the message, to get the word out. You're willing to partner up with other believers so that people might have joy. And look, he talks about the abundance in Christ. I tell you what, that person who sits on the back row and says, man, when I get to heaven, all I want to do, just give me that last seat. I just want to be on the last row. I just want my foot in heaven. Folks, if that's all you want, you're probably not going. God doesn't want you on the back row, the last seat, and be a do-nothing. God wants you to spread joy. That's what He wants. Man, if you don't want other people to have joy, it's probably because you don't have joy. And authentic Christianity builds joy. And not only for you, you want to see other people have it. There's nothing that'll fire you up more than when you see somebody come to know the Lord Jesus and when all of a sudden, when their life is changed. Boy, we were working yesterday. I know I talk about the field, but that's where I am. We were working out in the field yesterday with some of the young folk, and this guy drove by and said, man, thank y'all so much for getting to, I haven't seen that tree there in 12 years, and there used to be a tree house up in it. He said, thank you guys. Man, that was the first word of encouragement we had out of the community, out of the zone. And you know what else happened? He drove to his house. He got his tools and he walked back up there and he says, look, can I help? Boy, you talking about, yeah. Yeah, man. Jumped in the middle of that and he started tutting and a-coating. I mean, it was great because he wanted to be a part. Listen, folks, nothing will encourage you more than when you see somebody else that wants to get in the middle of the joy. It's awesome. It's awesome. And you get to learn. You see, because what we have to do, the end in our partnership is to nurture friendship. Folks, we got to do this. Nurturing friendship. You know what a rich man is? Let me tell you what a rich man is. A rich man is a man that dies with three close friends. That's a rich man. How many close friends? Maybe. Do you have? You know what I've discovered? It just doesn't happen accidentally. You've got to nurture relationships. Because you've got three categories. Christians fall in three categories. You know what they do? Category number one is isolation. And this person says, because I'm a Christian, I don't want any non-believers around me. All I want to do is just surround me totally with Christians. I don't want to get out in the world. I don't want to touch the world. I don't want to be in the world. I don't want nothing about it. I don't want anybody coming into my circle of friendship that's not walking with the same values that I am. Isolation. He wants to isolate himself. Listen, folks, Jesus did not live in isolation. Do you know what he did? Jesus went to Matthew's house. You know what was going on at Matthew's house? There was a party going on. Jesus went to the party. And there were many sinners and publicans there. That's where Jesus went. Now there's one step. One is isolation. That you don't want anybody to get in your circle. But then there's second two. Some go for imitation. In other words, they dress like Britney Spears. They talk like the world. They walk like the world. They become a friend to the world. Imitation means become friend to the world. And you know what becoming a friend to the world is? A friend to the world is an enemy of God. That's what he said in 1 John. So, therefore, we can't be isolation. We cannot imitate. So what do? We insulate and we infiltrate. Now what that means is that the Holy Spirit, He surrounds us. He protects us. Listen, folks, if your heart is right and you're focused on the real deal and being an authentic Christian, no matter what circle you go into, you can stand up for Jesus Christ. And what we have to do as believers, we have to infiltrate. We got to take what we believe, the joy and the hope that we have in the good news of Jesus Christ and the life change, and we've got to infiltrate where non-believers are, and we've got to nurture people into the kingdom of God. Is that dangerous? Yes. But who wants to live a life without danger? Man, let's get on the cutting edge. That's what's going to change lives. Let's don't isolate ourselves from the world. Let's don't imitate the world. Let's be insulated with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, and let's infiltrate the world. And what do, folks? Some of you are good at it, and y'all need to have a party. Hey, crank up the grill. I challenge some of you. Put the grill in the front yard. Throw in the charcoal. Throw in some onions on the charcoal. Boy, that'll drive you crazy. That smell will get out there. And put a sign out in front of your house, free food. Oh, buddy, go ahead. Just try it. And see what happens. You're liable to have some interesting conversations. So therefore, plan a party. Invite some people over there. Do something. Hey, look, God can use you. He wants to use you. Reach out. Because some of us, listen, you're not as good as you say you are. Because God calls sinners and you are one of the chief. And God called you. So therefore, humble yourselves. Humble yourself. Jesus said in Luke 5:32, He says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Teach, reach out with confidence. For God, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Believe that God wants you to reach out. And then part of our partnership is E, and that is expect God to act. Listen, folks, when you have a party, when you have a small group, expect God to do something and do something great. And listen, never give up. I love Winston Churchill for one of his statements. Never give up. Never, never, never give up. Folks, you've got the good news. Take it. Don't give up. Faith is not blind, it's to be bold. Faith is not paralyzed, it walks. Faith is something that God wants you to do. And the last thing I want you to see here is that conduct in Christ, authentic Christianity, lives a life worthy of truth. It upholds faith are found in the gospel of Christ. In other words, we have two privileges of authentic Christianity. And I want to read both of them to you. Scripture says, only let your conduct be worthy and of the gospel, so that whether I come and see you or in absence, I may hear or I may hear of your affairs, that you stand steadfast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for faith of the gospel. Not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which then to them is a proof of perdition, but to you salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which saw in me and now here is in me. What is God wanting you to do? He's wanting to turn up the crucible. And He wants to represent Christ. He wants you to represent Christ. Folks, He doesn't want you to be embarrassed. He wants you to get out, because your walk and your talk, it really counts. So what is God telling you? He wants you to partner up with Him. He wants you to be an authentic Christian. He wants you to share the joy which produces. He wants you to share the gospel which produces joy. He wants you to pray together. He wants you to appeal to common interest. Christ wants you in your body. Let your conduct be for Him. He wants you to tell your story, nurture your friends, expect God to come. He wants you to be a representative of Jesus Christ. So when you walk out on the street, they say, that man walks with God. I don't know what he's got, but whatever he got, I want some of it. I want some. That's like that two skunks. Y'all remember, there's two skunks walking down the railroad, and they came close to a paper mill. And you know how bad a paper mill stinks? The mama squirrel said to the baby squirrel, said, ah, I don't know what it is, but I want some of it. Listen, folks, I don't know what it is, but authentic Christianity, I want some of it. Folks, the next 40 days, you have an awesome opportunity to live the authentic Christian life. Let's pray. Father, we come before You with praise and with honor. We come before You worshiping in the name of Jesus. We come before You partnering together. And God, we want to be authentic. We want to be audio-visible. Lord, we don't want to be afraid. We want to know in the forefront that there's heaven. And we're looking forward to You. And God, You've given us the privilege to not only live for You, but to suffer for You. God, in these next 40 days, make it happen right here. Make it happen, Lord. Turn up the heat. Let us partner together. Let us walk in oneness in Christ. You're the King. You're the Lord. You want it to happen. God, I believe it is. I've already seen it, Lord. Oh, You're awesome. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Partner up with Christ. Listen, folks, if you're going to partner up with Christ, you've got to know Him. You've got to know Him. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Man, if you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to come up front right now and say, Brother Robert, I want to partner up with Jesus. That's all you're going to have to say, and then we'll carry the conversation from there. I want to partner up. What about you? What about you? If you're not in a small group, let me encourage you. Get in a small group for these next 40 days. Let it happen. Let it be a part of your life. Something real, something big, something awesome. What is Christ doing in your life? What do you need today? Prayer altars are going to be open. Those who want to give their life to Jesus, those who want to make a commitment, a fresh commitment today, you do that. You do that. But whatever it is, man, don't be afraid to get in the crucible with the heat turned up. You may turn to liquid, but boy, after the liquid, you're going to fly all over the place. God wants you to fly. He wants you to rejoice and be rejoiced with others. We're going to stand together. We're going to have a hymn, and that hymn's coming up. So if you need to make decisions for Christ, I encourage you. Let's stand together as we sing Only Trust Him this morning. Only trust Jesus Christ. Give your life to Him. Play it again, and let's continue on in this spirit. We've got business going on. Play it again, guys, and we'll sit here and we'll sing. Some of you will need to be in prayer because you see there's a partnership going on. And the first point is that of a partnership is praying. If there's somebody that you need to pray for, right now is the time to pray. And if you don't know who to pray for, you just pray for that person on your right or your left because they need it. You know somebody specifically? Nail it. Let's do that, okay? If you want to sing, feel free to sing. If you want to pray, just bow your heads and just talk to Jesus, okay?